Romans chapter 11 is a tremendous chapter. It would be good to read all of the chapter, but for the sake of time, we want to break into the chapter and commence our reading at verse 25. Romans chapter 11, and reading from the 25th verse. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. The blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. O, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out! For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts, and briefly, for a moment, let us ask the Lord now to bless the ministry of his word to our souls tonight. Our Father in heaven, we ask that thou wilt give understanding and help now in the preaching of thy word. May it not go forth in the dead letter, but we pray that it will go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Bring all things readily to my remembrance. Help me to expound and apply the Word of God. May it be a blessing to all, and may those who are yet in their sin and have never experienced salvation, may they come to know the God of Israel, the Savior of the world, to be their Savior. We ask these things tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Over the past number of weeks, we have been studying what we have called an introductory study to the Lord's return. We looked at the main events in the build-up to the coming again of the Savior. We considered the great general apostasy that will take place throughout the world. We considered then the great tribulation that will take place just before the Savior returns. And we considered the man of sin who will come to the fore during that time of great tribulation. Then we considered how the Lord himself will descend publicly, personally, and powerfully from heaven. And at that time, there are a number of events that accompany his coming. In our last message, we considered the first of those events. One of the first things that happens as the Savior descends, the dead in Christ rise from the graves. There will be a resurrection of the dead. We come tonight to consider something else that will accompany the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it relates to his ancient covenant chosen people, Israel. You cannot study the Lord's return without considering the nation of Israel, the physical, literal descendants of Abraham, the covenant people of God. My text tonight is found in verse 26 of Romans chapter 11, where it tells us, "And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." That quotation from Isaiah 59 and the verse 20 and 21 ties this great event into the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. For there in Isaiah chapter 59 and the verse 20 and 21, we read of the Lord Jesus Christ and His coming again. Let me read those verses to you. It would be good for you just to turn them up. Isaiah 59 and the verse 20 and 21. "And the Redeemer shall come to Zion." The Deliverer is coming from the heavenly Zion to the earthly Zion. "The Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord." And verse 21 goes on to further explain about that time. And so the apostle quotes from Isaiah to speak about this time when the Lord will come to deliver His ancient people Israel. Now, before we come to the text, there are a number of things that we really need to say by way of introduction, and we need to take a little time with them. We need to point out that between the crucifixion of Christ and the coming again of Christ, that Israel, largely speaking, the natural descendants of Abraham, the nation of Israel, between the first coming, the crucifixion of Christ, and the second coming, the nation has dwelt under a judicial blindness to the gospel. You'll see that in verse 25. Paul said, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery." We mentioned on Wednesday night that a biblical mystery is not something that cannot be known or something that can't be unraveled. A biblical mystery is something that is known only by divine revelation, because God has revealed it unto us. And so Paul says, "Brethren, I wouldn't have you to be ignorant of this mystery." That blindness, the word is translated hardness in the margin, that hardness has happened in part to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Romans chapter 11 is setting forth, Paul is setting forth the place of natural Israel in God's scheme of redemption. You'll see that he is using the phrase Israel, not of a spiritual Israel, not of New Testament Gentile believers, but of the nation of Israel, the descendants of Abraham. You'll see it in verse 1. He says, "I also am an Israelite," Paul speaking. He says, "I'm an Israelite of the seed of Abram, of the tribe of Benjamin. I can trace my pedigree right back to the tribe of Benjamin." And he's speaking there of the natural descendants of Abraham, the nation of Israel. You'll see that he draws the contrast then in verse 15. For he says, "If the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world." They were cast off, as it were, so that the Gentiles might be reconciled unto God. And he's contrasting the state or the nation of Israel with the Gentile nations of this world. He's not speaking about Gentile believers under this term, Israel. No, he's speaking about the natural descendants of Abraham. You'll see it again in verse 17. "And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou," that is the Gentile believers, "being a wild olive tree, were grafted in and among them." He likens natural Israel to this olive tree. And he says the natural branches were broken off, so that you, Gentile believers, as a wild olive tree, your branches could be grafted in and among them. You'll see again in verse 28 this contrast between the nation of Israel and the Gentile peoples of this world. Verse 28, as concerning the gospel, they, that is Israel, the Israel that is spoken of in verse 26, Israel and Jacob, they, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies. For your sakes, that's Gentile believers in that New Testament era. He says, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies. Why were they cast off? Why were they broken off? Why did they become enemies? Verse 20 tells you, because of their unbelief. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. The Gospels tell us that Jesus came unto His own, and His own received Him not. And because the nation of Israel did not receive the Lord, in Matthew 23, He walked out of the temple and He said, your house is left unto you desolate, empty. And their temple was burned with fire, and their land was left to the Gentile nations for over 1900 years. Your house is left unto you desolate, and you will not see me again until ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. They were cast off and rejected, because in their unbelief they rejected the Messiah. And at that time, blindness in part has happened, largely speaking, to the nation of Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. From the crucifixion to the coming of the Lord, this is the times of the Gentiles, when the Gentile nations are evangelized and brought into the kingdom of God. And largely speaking, Israel is in blindness and darkness. And while there will be some Jews that will be saved, and that may increase towards the end of the age, yet largely speaking, the nation of Israel between the first and the second coming has been judicially blinded to the gospel truth because of their rejection of the Messiah when they nailed the Son of God to the tree. But before the Lord Jesus returns, the Bible prophesies of the fact that at His coming, the nation of Israel would be in the land of promise, the land that we know as Israel, and mainly and mostly in unbelief. There are far, far too many scriptures to go through them all. I would encourage you to read Jeremiah 30 to 33 to see that set forth. But let me quote to you a number of verses just to show and to prove that Israel as a nation would be back in the land before the Savior returns to this earth. Jeremiah 30 verse 3, for lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. And as you read Jeremiah 30, you can only conclude that that bringing Israel back to the land, there is more in view than the return from captivity. There are things in Jeremiah 30, 31, 32, 33 that were not fulfilled when Israel returned from the Babylonian captivity. And therefore it was speaking about a future coming again to the land. I believe it will be fulfilled before, it has already been and is being fulfilled before the Lord returns. Ezekiel 37 is another chapter that sets forth the fact that Israel would return again to the land before the Lord Jesus would come back to this earth. Ezekiel 37 and 21, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land. And you read verse 22 to 24, and again you see, there is more prophesied here than ever took place on their return from the Babylonian captivity. And I put it to you that in 1948, the Lord began to do a work, How do we know? Why do we believe we're coming close to the end of this age? We don't know what the day or the hour when the Savior will return. But I tell you, we know this, that it's coming soon. For in 1948, the Lord began to bring His people back to the land of Israel. And that people became a nation in that land once more. Just as the Bible said, scattered to the ends of the earth for 1900 years. And yet God's Word began to be fulfilled. God's Word is true. You can stake your eternity on it. You can stake your soul upon it. For every word will be fulfilled. And the Bible teaches it. Furthermore, not only between the first coming and the second coming of the Lord will Israel be in darkness and blindness to the gospel truth and salvation. Not only will they come again into their land and be there in unbelief, largely speaking, before the Lord returns, but at the Lord's return, Jerusalem will be under siege. Turn, please, to Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah chapter 14. People got very upset when Donald Trump, and I want to say very clearly tonight, I don't know where the man stands spiritually. Some of his statements, we certainly couldn't stand over or support. And some of the things perhaps he does would not lead us to believe he has a genuine saving faith in Christ, though he certainly seems at other times to be sympathetic to the cause of evangelicalism. But he recognized that Jerusalem really should be the capital of the state and nation of Israel. And in Zechariah chapter 14, it gives us every belief in the fact that the very center and heart of the nation before the Lord returns will not so much be Tel Aviv, but will be Jerusalem. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh. The day of the Lord is the second coming of Christ. The day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee, and I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. We spoke about the great tribulation a number of weeks ago. We spoke about how it would be centered mainly in Judea and Judah, and how that the man of sin will stride through the nations of this world, and he will bring the armies of the nations of this world against the people of Israel. And that's the time Zechariah is speaking about in this portion of Scripture. Just before the Lord returns, as the day of the Lord comes, the nations will be gathered against Jerusalem to battle. The city will be besieged. And awful events will take place described in that verse. But look at verse 3. It brings us to the same moment in time that Paul was speaking about in Romans chapter 11 and the verse 26. The same time Isaiah was speaking of in Isaiah 59 in the verse 20. He says, then when those nations gather against Jerusalem, when the city is besieged and a certain section of the city is taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished, Jerusalem is about to fall. The nation of Israel is about to be wiped off the map as far as the Gentile nations are concerned. But then shall the Lord go forth to fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. This is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the deliverer coming from the heavenly Zion to the earthly Zion. He's coming to stand upon the Mount of Olives. He's coming. Yes, he'll raise his people from the dead. He'll gather his redeemed unto himself. But he's coming to save and to deliver his ancient covenant people, Israel. And at that day, Romans 11:26 tells us, as the Lord returns, as He descends, I believe it with all my heart, all Israel shall be saved. And it's that little sentence that in the time I have remaining tonight, I really wanted to develop. I have taken a little longer tonight just setting up the scene. All Israel shall be saved as the Lord returns. His ancient covenant people will be saved. The veil will go. The blindness will depart. They will be converted. And that's really what I wanted to speak upon tonight. Israel being saved. I will be as concise as I can in the time that I have left. I want to say firstly and ask the question, how will Israel be saved as the Lord returns? Let me say to you, they'll be saved the same way that you and I are saved. There's only one gospel. There's only one way of salvation. There's not a way of salvation for the Jew and a way of salvation for the Gentile. There wasn't a way of salvation in the Old Testament that's different from a way of salvation in the New Testament. There's only ever been one way of salvation, and it's through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ when the sinner repents of his sin and believes the gospel. That's how Israel will be saved. I want you to turn back to Zechariah chapter 12 and you'll see this. Zechariah chapter 12, and I want you to look at verses 9 and 10. This tells us how Israel will be saved in that day. And it's speaking again about the same time as Zechariah chapter 14. Let's see this, verse 9, and it shall come to pass in that day. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 9, it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. It's the same time as Zechariah chapter 14, verse 2 and 3. And look at what verse 10 says. As the Lord's descending with His feet to stand on the Mount of Olives, and He comes to destroy the nations that come against Jerusalem, He says, I will pour upon the house of David. Who's the house of David? It's the earthly Israelite. I will pour upon the house of David and upon who? The inhabitants of Jerusalem. The spirit of grace and supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Oh, men and women, the Bible says that every eye shall see, and we emphasized that a few weeks ago. When the Lord descends, the lights will go out, the sun darken, the moon will cease to give her light, and every eye will see Him. But there's a special emphasis on the fact that the Jews will see Him. It was the Jews who pierced Him. And in Revelation 1 and 7, John wrote those words, every eye shall see Him, and they also that pierced Him. Let me tell you, Iran will not wipe the Jew off the map before the Lord returns. The Middle Eastern Arab nations will not have the Jew destroyed before the Lord returns. No, they'll be there in their land. And they will see the Lord Jesus Christ. And do you notice what it says? They shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. There is a spirit of mourning and lamentation when they see Christ, because they will mourn the fact that they rejected Him as a nation, that they pierced Him, that they put Him to death, and that they done away with Him. This is a mourning over their sin. My friend, that's repentance. And they will look upon Him. And doesn't the Bible liken faith to a look? Isn't that what we sung about tonight? Look, look, look and live. The prophet Isaiah, the Lord speaking through him, said, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and beside me there is none else. And I tell you, as the Lord descends, Israel will look upon him and they will mourn over their sin. And they will realize that they rejected the Messiah, and they will lament and mourn and repent, and they will look to him in faith, and they will be converted. I believe that in Zechariah 13 and verse 1, you have another scripture that is, it can be applied in the gospel, but it is speaking primarily of that day. In that day, there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants for sin and uncleanness. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, and in that day the fountain that is filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, will be opened for the house of David. And they will repent of their sin, look unto him, and they shall, and they will, be saved. Let me ask you the question tonight. Have you repented? Have you mourned over your sin? Your sin that nailed the Son of God to the tree. Your sin that is taking you and would have taken you to hell. Have you mourned and repented over it? Have you turned from it? Have you looked to Christ by faith? Have you embraced him to be your Savior? I tell you, it's the only way of salvation. It's the only way you can be converted and right with God in that day when he will return. That's how Israel will be saved. Let me ask a second question tonight. Who of Israel will be saved? The apostle used that word also. All Israel shall be saved. Now, commentators differ as to the extent of the word all. And they will comment on it in various ways. I can only say that personally, I believe it refers to all living Israelites at the time of Christ's coming. All Israel shall be saved. You see, the Bible again teaches us and tells us that at that time, 2/3 will be cut off and die. Let me turn you back to Zechariah, those final chapters. You should read them carefully. They relate to the end time age, chapter 12, 13, and 14. And in Zechariah 13, verse 8 and 9, it tells us something about that end time age. It shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, and a third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried, and they shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. And how do we know it's an end time prophecy? Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, chapter 14, when he will gather all nations, and then his feet shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. Didn't we say again, and I know we're repeating old ground, but during the great tribulation of Matthew 24, it would be a time of Jacob's trouble that would be more severe than any other time of trouble that any other nation has ever known on earth. You see what the Lord is saying? That as many as 2/3 will be cut off. 2/3 of Jacob. It will be a time when many in that nation will lose their lives through that onslaught that will be made upon that nation at the end time age. And yet the Lord declares that he will bring the third part through the fire. And they shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Just turn back to Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah 31. And in verse 1, again, we have a prophecy in relation to Israel and their salvation. And the closing part of chapter 30 shows us that it is the time of the end. Verse 24 of chapter 30, the fierce anger of the Lord shall not return until he have done it. And until he have performed the intents of his heart in the latter days, ye shall consider it at the same time, saith the Lord. I will be the God of all the families of Israel. Look at verse 7 of Jeremiah 30 as well, for it tells us, alas, that the day is great like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. I'm highlighting these verses because they show us it's the time of the end. It's the time of Jacob's trouble at the end of the age, a time when the trouble will be great like none other on earth before it. And at that time, in the latter days, the Lord declares that he will be God of some of the families of Israel. No, he says all the families of Israel. Verse 2 says, and thus saith the Lord, the people which are left of the sword find grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause them to rest. And he speaks about his love to Israel and how that Israel will find grace through the sword. Oh, the Word of God gives us every reason to believe that when the Lord returns, there will be a national revival and reviving among His ancient covenant people. We could mention again verse 34 of Jeremiah 31. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest. Do you see? They shall all know me, Jeremiah 31 and 34, from the least to the greatest, they'll all know me. And that day, oh, it's the day that Isaiah prophesied of in Isaiah 66, verse 8, when the nation would be born in a day, born unto God in a day. And I can only say, while others may take a differing view, I believe these prophecies in both the Old and the New Testament give us every reason to believe that as the Lord descends, those living descendants of Abraham's seed will look unto him in repentance and faith, and he will be their God and they will be his people, and he shall visit them with salvation, blessing. How Israel will be saved? Who of Israel will be saved? Let me turn you back to Romans chapter 11 and simply point out thirdly and finally why Israel will be saved. Look at verse 27. For this is my covenant unto them, when I will take away their sins. The Lord entered into covenant with Israel. That covenant, I believe, cannot be broken. You can read about it in Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 35. How the Lord declares he will make a new covenant with them. Not as in the days he entered in with their fathers at Sinai, but rather he would make a new covenant with them when he would take away their sins. And I tell you, that covenant cannot be broken. The word covenant means an agreement. And I want to tell you, God doesn't break his covenant. God doesn't break his promises. God doesn't break his word. He has said that through Abraham's seed all nations would be blessed. He has said, entering into covenant with Abraham, he promised that he would give Abraham and his literal seed the land of Canaan to be their possession forever and ever. He will not break his word. through covenant with Abraham, he stated that a Messiah would come from his seed who would bring salvation to all nations. Jesus Christ was born of the seed of Abraham, and he has brought and provided and procured salvation for all in all nations who will come to him. He'll not break his word. But he has covenanted that there's coming a day when he will revisit his ancient covenant people. They weren't greater than anybody else. They weren't better than anybody else. They weren't mightier than any other nation. But God said he chose them because he loved them. It was out of his free grace and sovereign mercy. He set his love upon them. And he has covenanted to take away their sins. God will not break his word. Let me conclude on that note by simply applying that truth in the gospel. The Lord will not break his word. He is true to the promises and prophecies of this book. And as much as that holds true for the nation of Israel, it holds true for every sinner. Because the Lord has said very simply, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the times of the Gentiles. And as Gentile people, the Lord gives the invitation, come to me and I will give you rest. Look unto me and be ye saved. He'll not break his word. And if you come to him in repentance and faith, he is promised by covenant to take away your sins, so that on that day when he descends, you will be with him, and you will behold as the dead rise to meet him, and as Israel are nationally gathered unto him, you'll behold it, and you'll enter into the glory of it. And as we said this morning, then we shall reign with him, and we'll know the blessings of the fullness of an eternity with Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless his word tonight to all of our hearts. And if you're not a believer, may you turn unto him in faith.